Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries, and I will close the work session on House Bill 3441 and House Bill 3112.
Good luck, Bernie.
Yeah.
Open the public hearing on Senate Bill 741 and ask the people that are here on that bill if they'll come up a minute. Come on up to the witness table if you would. This is a bill that came from Senate Human Resources. Both the medical associations indicated that they would probably not have any here, but they supported it. And then Christine Gebbe, director of the health division, was going to testify on it. We had to go to Portland, and I had indicated that we could hold it over till Friday. But if there's no problem with that bill at this time, and I understand there isn't, why, we could probably go ahead and put it out. But let me open the hearing clearly on Senate Bill 741 and ask for your comments, and then we'll see if there's any problems, and we'll determine whether we're going to work session or not. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I very much would like to have this committee's endorsement on 741. As I read this bill before you, there is...
You need to give us your name over there.
I'm sorry. My name is Evan Evans, and I live at 426 Acre Lane, Monmouth, Oregon. I represent Polk County Fire District Number 1. I'm a fire chief in and for Polk Fire District Number 1. The only problem that I have with the A. N. Gross Senate Bill 741 has to do with reasonable effort to notify the worker, and it occurs on the back page, line 1, where it says, Health Department or Health Division shall make reasonable effort to notify. I've talked with the representatives from the Health Department, and we've kind of agreed on this wording, if it could be changed, and I don't know how to do that, but the Health Division shall make every effort to notify the worker and employer of the exposure, insert now, if you would, as soon as medically appropriate, given the urgency of the disease or suspected disease. What came out of this was the fact that in some diseases, 24 hours notice is too long. And yet in some diseases, a month is okay to wait. And so we were concerned about it being tied up in reasonable effort. We would like to have a little stronger wording in making every effort, but giving them the freedom to determine within their wisdom as to what the medical disease constitutes an urgency.
Give us your suggested language then again.
Okay. If you would insert after the word make on the first line, Health Division shall make every effort.
Instead of take out reasonable?
Right.
Okay.
To notify the worker and employer of the exposure, insert now, if you will, as soon as medically appropriate, given the urgency of the disease or suspected disease.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Keesley.
I guess it's a question. I don't have a problem with the intent of the amendment. I'm wondering if it's necessary, given that Section 5 says that the Health Division shall adopt rules to implement the Act, as reasonable effort something that you could just simply define in rules along this very same line.
May I answer?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, I know that has happened. Mr. Kiesling, the situation that we have been presented with that actually precipitated this bill maybe needs to be just discussed for a second. We have had a situation where our medics have been exposed to disease. We've contacted the health department, and through processes of breaking down, things have not been happening. We did not get notified. We heard by... we had a situation where a woman died of tuberculosis, and we heard by accident, if you will, that determination had been made. We notified the health department, and we still have not received written or oral instructions from them, and yet we hear that they do have administrative rules to that effect. What this bill would do is to say, legislatively, it should happen.
Other questions, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Vice Chairman.
What
is your definition of every effort? For me, let me just tell you what my reading of that means. It means that they'll keep trying until that every person is notified, no matter where they've gone or where they are, until they actually receive a notice, they're going to keep working at it. So that's quite a burden on the health department to undertake.
I understand that, but as a medic, it's a burden for me to not be notified and subject my family to knowing whether I've been suspected to hepatitis or not, or to tuberculosis or not, and they don't notify us under present situations. It is a very emotional issue, as you can tell. Reasonable effort to me means that given the budget and given the personnel and given these other things, I may or may not get to it. I like make every effort being a little stronger wording, in my opinion.
Well, let me ask you. I think the concept, at least that you're proposing, is clear. Is this agreeable to the health division?
We talked about it just moments ago, and they said that they had no problem with it.
What I would suggest we do, we're not yet in work session, but if this is agreeable to the committee as we get there, would be to accept this in concept as an amendment. Check with our legislative council and put it in appropriate language, and then if it turns out to be a problem, we can bring it back in the reconsideration on Friday. We will meet one more time as a full committee, but go ahead unless there's other problems with it, put the bill out.
Mr. Chairman, I have no other problems with this. I think that there have been a lot of changes in it since the initial bill, and we support it very, very much, and we've worked with the health division in getting it to this point, and so thank you very much.
Representative Parkinson.
Quick question. Did you suggest these changes on the Senate side?
At that particular point, no, I did not, because that was not worded that way over there at all, in the sense that when I testified on it, and so this is when I got involved.
I noticed that reasonable effort phrase was added by the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair.
Representative Kiesner.
Would you object to all the language you read, except rather than saying every effort, you say every reasonable effort?
And then as soon as medically appropriate.
Right.
And I don't think I have a problem with that. Okay. I think it
gets to Representative Wehage's concern just about heroic efforts and what exactly it would require you to do.
And I can appreciate that. I really can. The only thing I would say is that given budgets and manpower and those kinds of things as they occur in the smaller counties, I know it's a problem, but we still deserve to be notified.
Okay. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Pat West. I represent the Oregon State Firefighters Council, and I'll keep it short and sweet. We're in favor of this bill and are also in favor of the amendments that were proposed.
Thank you. Thank both of you. We appreciate it. Is there anyone else that wants to testify on this bill? Now I will close the hearing on Senate Bill 741 and go into the work session 741. Let me ask the committee, is there any objection to at least the concept to accept the proposed amendment, make every reasonable effort to notify the worker and employer of the exposure as soon as medically appropriate given the urgency of the disease or suggested disease. We will ask legislative council to put that in appropriate language, but I think the intent is clear. Any objection to the concept? Any other amendments or any other problem anyone has? As I said, the Oregon Medical Association indicated support, and so has the Health Division.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parkinson.
I'd move Senate Bill 741 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
The move to send Senate Bill 741 to the floor with a due pass. Is there further comments or questions? Not if the clerk will call the roll on 741, the proposal as amended.
Representative Hostica.
Representative
Jones.
Aye.
Representative Kiesling.
Aye.
Representative Parkinson.
Aye.
Representative Pickard.
Aye.
Representative Senate Dix.
Aye. Motion carries. Let me ask who we have here on Senate Bill 261. I think Mr. Young is here for that bill, and is Representative Doris still here, or is he left? Why don't you go ahead and call him?
He
was a minute ago. Yeah, I wonder if he's outside.
Haiti? What bill are you here for?
Oh, this poor thing.
You enjoy what? You enjoy this? If we're pros,
nothing's wrong.
Bill, why don't you come on up? We are in public hearing on that work session, public hearing on Senate Bill 261. You may recall this was a bill that was referred to the committee from the floor that Representative Norris carried. It's the CPIC bill. Let me ask Mr. Young, do we have amendments to take care of that problem, Bill?
We've addressed, Mr. Chairman, Bill Young, Water Resources Department. We've distributed a page of amendments that we've put together in very large part, I think, trying to respond to concerns that were expressed on the floor. As those are being distributed, perhaps the most notable amendment that we've tried to add was an issue that I understand was discussed on the floor at some length, which is the amendment that shows on the bottom of the page of amendments that we've proposed.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Which attempts to respond to the question as to whether or not someone, if they get a water right that we would issue, is in one way or another given the authority to enter onto private land to develop that water right. I think the law is well established there that the water right does not provide any opportunity for trespass. But to make that perfectly clear, we've attempted to add language there that says exactly that, that the issuance of a water right does not give anybody the opportunity to enter onto private land to develop that, and that access to or easements across property to develop a water right would be the subject of private discussion between the landowner and the person that wanted to develop the water. Beyond that, we have added a definition of spring, which I understand was a question raised on the House floor. Our Assistant Attorney General has given us a definition drawn from a court case, as I understand it, that simply says that a spring is a point where water emerges naturally from the earth, either as a result of gravity or as a result of artesian pressures.
Excuse me just a minute, Bill. Chuck, come on up to the table. Go ahead.
Beyond that, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the fact that this committee has chosen to take up this matter on referral from the floor. And I don't know how much explanation you want of what existing law is and what this law proposes to change. This law really makes two relatively simple changes to the existing water law. Existing water law says that if a spring rises on your property and never leaves the property, that is, it has no defined channel where it runs off, current law says you do not need to have a water right to make use of that spring water. On the other hand, if a spring rises on your property and does run off the property, current law requires one to have a water right to develop that. Others may file on that after it leaves the property, and failure of the person on whose property the spring rises to file for a water right may well put them in an inferior position in terms of the priorities if there comes to be a contest about that. This bill attempts to do two things. The first thing it tries to do is to say for people who are currently using spring water, it allows them but does not require them to register their use of the spring, and in registering it to identify for us the evidence that they would forward as to when they started using it. So one could make that registration and make a demonstration that indeed they started using that spring 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. The other thing that the bill does is, after January of 1991, it says anyone who proposes to use water out of a spring needs to file for a permit on that. And the reason we've proposed this bill is that we are persistently presented each summer with perhaps as many as 3 to 4 dozen issues that we have to try and deal with, where either someone failed to file on a spring and the water did run off the property and someone else filed on it, and they now discover that the use they're making is inferior in terms of the priority date, or we find out that a spring that arose on a piece of property and at one time may have stayed there now runs off the property because property has been divided, subdivided, or the very character of the groundwater has changed to where a spring that previously did not run off now does. And in that case, there is no protection provided to that original spring user. So that's what we're trying to address here. We've tried to provide a mechanism that lets existing spring users file a registration with us, indicating that they are using that, and this statute says that we may accept that as prima facie evidence of the date of their use until we get around to doing a full-blown adjudication. And secondly, it says, beginning in January of 91, to avoid this problem simply continuing, that people from that time forward are expected to file, just as they would on any other surface waters, if they intend to use those waters for a beneficial purpose.
Thank you. Let me ask Representative Norris. This, we had almost a meltdown on this bill on the floor before it was referred to the committee. Let me ask, do the suggested amendments, in your judgment, take care of the issue that was raised?
I think Representative Cease has cleared up some of the key points. There was some concern raised by some colleagues who spoke to me. They knew of the case or imagined a case where maybe there were multiple springs on the property. Did that mean that for every single point of diversion that the applicant would have to file a separate application? Is it going to cost them $300 a shot? This kind of thing. I think Bill made mention of that, but I might ask him to to clear it up a little bit here, where you have perhaps some multiple sources of water put to a common use and what would we be faced with. And I would defer to him if you'll let me.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, it would not be unusual, as we would process a normal application for a permit if there were multiple points when sources of water, but they were joined together to pursue a common purpose, for us to consider that as a single application. Another example might be where you had a very large piece of property, and indeed there were two springs, but they were separated by a mile or more, and they were being used in separate locations. In that case, our typical response would be to require a permit for each. The important point, I think, to make is that if we're talking about existing uses, then these people may file a registration, and the bill indicates that our commission may set a fee that simply covers our cost of processing that registration that they would file. My anticipation is that when our commission adopts rules on that matter, they're going to set a fee that covers our cost of doing the paperwork. It is likely to be lower than the current fee that's charged for a brand new application for a water right permit.
Chairman, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parkinson and Representative Aggers.
Bill, present law, when you file a water right, you just do it once.
Yes.
One fee, one time, and that's it.
That's correct, Representative.
Thank you.
Representative Aggers.
One of the objections that I recall from the meltdown, an apt description, was that there was a concern about the January 1st, 1991 date, and I seem to remember some concerns being expressed that how are people going to know about this date? They may, you know, have these rights, they live way out in the boonies somewhere, and they don't read the Oregonian. They don't even read the Herald and News. As a matter of fact, they don't read much of anything. And they simple folk that live out there, and this 91 date goes by, and they haven't filed, and you know they lose their rights simply because they never found out about it. That date was troublesome to some people.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, Representative Agrins, that date applies to people who would file for a new use of water.
Okay.
After that date, they must file. There is not a timeline in terms of the date when people may file with us the existence of that pre-existing use.
Then at any time, a person can wake up to the fact that they need to file on it. They haven't done so. They might not figure it out till 1995, but they could still they've been using it, man and boy, lo and behold, these 50 years, they could still go and file on it and have the primary right.
Any time up until the time we actually did an adjudication in the area, Representative Agron?
Which, of course, is the ultimate.
That's right.
Right.
The question is still a legitimate one as to those new users that might appear out there. And all I can do is describe the usual practices we would have for trying to get notice of any change in water law out. We attempt to publish that through the bulletins and newsletters of the various organizations. We post it in our water master offices, and we have some 19 of those around the county. We issue press releases, and we hope that the local papers will pick that up and people will see it. So we make a strong effort to get that word out. But I'd have to confess that there would still be the potential that someone would go out there not knowing they needed a permit, much the same way I think happens now, when because of the confusion about who has to apply for a right on a spring, I think most of the concerns we've heard expressed about this bill, frankly, are from people that do not have a right on a spring that already runs off the property, and they likely are already subject to someone else filing and making a claim to that water. And it's simply not well known just because of the confusion that exists in the current law.
Anyone else? Let me ask you, Bill. Yes, Representative Weehage.
I've had some mention to me about differences in fees depending upon whether you filed before this January 1st, 1991 date and after that date. Would you explain that for my benefit?
Well, the difference in fees, Representative Weehage, I think would be on whether or not a person was filing a claim to an already existing use, in which case our commission will set that fee, and the statute says the fee is to be set at a level that covers our cost of processing it. For a new user that would file, the fee is set in statute, and the fee that Representative Norris mentioned is for a small use, a household use, non-commercial lawn and garden. The fee is going to be as it is in statute until the legislature would change it, on the order of $300 to $350 probably for that kind of a use.
Thank you.
Other questions from the committee?
Just one further clarification. Do you have any estimate of what the cost will be just to cover the clerical processing?
I do not, Representative Weehage, and that's not a matter that we've explored with our commission, of course, until this is the bill is accomplished. We would anticipate that since what we are to do is to receive a representation from those individuals in appropriate form that they are claiming a pre-existing right, we're simply to verify that all the information is there, and then we, in essence, issue a certificate on which we can regulate. Until we get around to doing the adjudication, I suspect those costs are going to be relatively low compared to the costs of processing a brand new water right.
Let me ask you, Bill, now these are the proposed amendments. These have not been done through the LC, have they, Legislative Council?
They have not.
Can you go over them quickly with us?
Surely can. On the first item, and they're listed there by item with, as I say, a couple or three of them that I think are of greater importance. Item number one on that list that we gave you, Mr. Chairman, simply inserts the definition of spring that I already mentioned. Item number
Excuse me just a minute. We have both the list of the proposed amendments, and then it's also Hand and Gross. You might want to look at either one of them.
Item number two simply renumbers as a result of that earlier insertion. Item number three is to address a concern that I understand was raised where, in the way the bill was originally amended, it appeared we might be extending our authority to cover those things that are regulated under the Geology and Mineral Industries Department having to do with mineral exploration and so on. We've proposed inserting that language back in to make it clear that is not the case. There's a major deletion in the bill, and that was a section that our Attorney General had originally offered to us that really talked about the process we go through in a groundwater adjudication. Her current recommendation to us is that be deleted, and we have done so as we've recommended these amendments, and we've simply allowed this to be subject to either a groundwater or surface water adjudication at a later date. Item number four is, I think, that major deletion that I talked about. Item number five is simply a renumbering of sections to comport with the additions and deletions that have been made. In item number six, the first item there is the language that picks up both the surface and groundwater adjudication. And then the last item, the one I've already mentioned, the new section six, which makes it clear that one does not get, as a result of having a water right, any right to enter onto private property unless there's some agreement between that proposed water developer and that private property owner.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Kuesling.
No, I want to just get back to a comment you made a little earlier, which is the intent of the of your department to only require one fee and to consolidate things if they were together. I was wondering if you had discussed whether you needed to put language to that effect in statute to raise the comfort level on this, because I mean, clearly none of us want to run it out again and have some same questions come up again, and people will ask, well, what did you specifically do to address that concern? And we say, well, we got the word from the department to say, trust us. And maybe it may be unnecessary, but I just wanted to make sure we've covered the bases on it.
I think, Representative Kuesling, it is unnecessary in that reflects current practice in the department. If there is a single beneficial use of water, the fact that that water may be gathered from two or three sources, our normal process would be to issue that and process that under a single application. If we were talking about, in essence, completely separate uses, widely separated geographically, water developed from two different sources for two different purposes, we then normally would view that as two separate applications.
Okay, so you would just fall back as existing law and practice, no
That's
need
right.
to be redundant. Okay.
It's the first time, Representative, anybody has ever suggested that we couldn't be trusted.
You mean on this on the floor on
That's
when
right.
this was voted on?
Right?
You mean today?
That's right.
Yeah.
since quitting time.
Let me ask you, Representative Norris. Representative Norris, does this take care of, you think, the problems that were raised on the floor?
Yes.
I will be asking you to carry the bill again, and we don't want you to be run over by a truck a second time on the same bill. We can avoid it.
Well, I would prefer that myself, but not being clairvoyant, that's a little hard to guarantee.
Right.
That I drove it onto the floor and had a bad wreck, and I think it spent some time at a body shop. I think it's got a chance.
Okay, Representative Pickard.
May I suggest that there are things that surround this bill that are beyond what we can do to help it?
We've improved it, but you mean we've improved it as far as we can go?
I think this committee has made an honest effort to do what they should do, and it may not be enough.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parker.
Bill, present law, a spring originates on a person's property, mm-hmm. runs off the property. Someone else downstream could file a water right on it and have a superior right than the person whose property the spring is on. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Under this bill, you automatically grandfather in the owner of the property where the spring originates.
If there is evidence that they have been using that water, they are not grandfathered in automatically simply because the spring rose there, but if there is evidence that they have been using it, one of the things this bill does that current law would not allow us to do is not only to recognize that use, because certainly we could do that under current law if you were in that circumstance, Representative, and came in tomorrow and filed a right with us, we could issue you one, but its priority date would be as of the day you came in to file. This registration process allows us to recognize that there has been a historic
critical to the industry.
No, I would not describe it as being critical to the industry.
Would
I think
describe
it would be,
as being important?
I would describe it as being helpful, not only to the industry but to the state in terms of controlling emissions and maintaining an adequate air, standard air quality in the state. Helpful, I think, would be the word.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Representative Keesling had a question first, then we're going to engage.
No, I'll go ahead.
I just want to direct a question to John. You've proposed a more encompassing program for air quality in the state that would consider many different sources of air pollutants. And I'm just curious whether you feel that, like this, could this be heading us down a road different from what you're proposing? Could it tube that proposal in the future? I have an interest in, you know, considering what you've proposed, and if you have some concerns that this would possibly do that proposal in, I'd like to hear from you about that.
Representative Weage, I don't know that it would do it in, but I think this weds us more tightly to the what I consider to be outdated notion of smoke management. We're going to raise more money. We're going to try and predict the weather better. We're going to try and get out there and shift the smoke around, you know, here and there a little better, and we're going to attempt to do some things. I think, you know, after six agonizing months of the fuel burning, you know, debate, we've been trying to move that program in a different direction. Here we are moving this program more down the same old road of smoke management. And I think, and once you start charging fees and having a pot of money, you begin to wed people more and more to that approach. And I don't think that is the approach that the state should be moving. I think we need to go to source reduction across the board.
John, I'd like to think that this program would help raise the level of awareness about smoke in the state, and I would hope that maybe it would help us, you know, have a more global viewpoint on this issue. And I just wonder if you might be more willing to think of it along those lines.
Actually, Representative Weage, smoke management probably has the opposite effect. The more successful you are at dodging the populated centers, the less public consciousness you have about it. If you can keep sending it better and better into rural areas where there's not many people living, you don't bother Portlanders or people in Bend or whatever, the public consciousness kind of decreases, although the smoke, you know, that eventually kind of goes all over the place, is still up there. So that's actually an ironic part of a smoke management that has probably delayed our doing anything different for the last 10 years, until you get some kind of, you know, event that grabs the public's attention. So I just think this kind of moves the state in the wrong direction.
Let me ask the committee. I think we've got a pretty good sized topic here, and I think we've got some quite different views on the committee. I'm sorry we didn't quite bring this back earlier. We had more, a little bit more time to work on it. What would you say if we just leave it? If you got any ideas of how we might work it out, we could discuss it again on Friday, but I would hate to vote on it and defeat it if there's a way of doing something with it. I think there is a problem. I personally have mixed minds about it.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, of course, my mixed minds about it as somebody who sponsored the bill that tries to knit everything together is that this still kind of begs and sidesteps the issue as to whether use of the public airshed in this particular industry, forestry industry, we've dealt with in terms of grass seed and others, is something that we ought to try to look at in a more comprehensive manner in terms of an assessment on that. And I would not be uncomfortable to consider this a pretty high priority, looking at these kinds of questions, not just forestry, but others in work that we do in the future over the interim, because I think the issue that's before the committee is whether we do what doing a little is going to make a step in the right direction, or might, in a sense, leave us going off in the wrong direction. I think there's a number of us who are of mixed minds about this particular bill.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, go ahead, Ray.
Mr. Chairman, just two quick points. The bill has a sunset in it. It's a two-year program as currently written. So one way to look at it is a model project or an experiment just to see if having this additional personnel and equipment would make a difference. Second thing is, to Representative Pickard, this is totally financed, or would be totally financed through assessments on landowners. So,
Mr. Chair?
Representative Jones.
I haven't heard all the discussion, but sometimes I begin to think that maybe the industry is damned if they do and damned if they don't. If they bring us a proposal that looks as if they're trying to enhance and work better with the system that's in existence, we're criticizing them because they're not taking a big enough comprehensive look. And they're looking at taxing themselves, and yet when they do try to solve the problem, I guess my point is we ought to be commending them for at least looking at trying to do a two-year program that assesses the industry itself at trying to manage better an existing program instead of coming in and resisting anything we try to do to manage it better for them.
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to, if you want to put this out to Friday and try to work on some of this language if there's some disagreement, I would be happy to sit down with the gentleman at this table and see what we might want to do on this session. I know time is very short, and it's something I'd like to do tomorrow. And the issues come back with something that, if we can get something that people agree with, think is a positive step forward, we can go with it.
Make a motion.
There is time, really, to Mr. Chairman, to do that. I mean, let's look at the realities. This thing has languished for months. Other priorities have taken precedence. We have a woefully short time. If anything's going to happen, probably only got a 50-50 chance now, even if we pass it out tonight.
That's right.
I mean, we either do it or we don't do it, it seems to me. Let's be candid about it.
Representative Jones.
We're in work session?
Yes, we are.
Have we moved the amendments?
No, we haven't gone over the amendments.
But the bill as
we've
we have
it. We've gone over a few of them, sorry. We haven't gone over the others.
We have the dash 2 and dash 3 that have been proposed by OFIC. Those have not been reviewed?
No. Let me ask the committee, since I think we've been here 2 hours, everybody's getting a little rummy. If Representative Keating is willing to look at this tomorrow, would the working group here be willing to sit down with him and see what we can do with that? This at least gives it another chance. Otherwise, I think a motion would fail. Hopefully, it would fail. I'd like to give it a chance. I think there's some troublesome things here, but if we can properly work those out in the time frame. The hour is late, but I would prefer to do that. I think we can still think about some things. Is that agreeable? All right, let's do that. We will close the work session and House Bill 3475. On our other items on the agenda, Senate Joint Resolution 41, Senate Bill 913, Senate Bill 70. We will, and I guess 816. We won't meet tomorrow, but we'll meet Friday. Since these are all Senate bills, so we have time to get them through the process. I don't think any of them have any subsequent referrals. Let me ask. They don't.
They do not.
None of them have subsequent referrals, so we'll have this back on Friday. We are adjourned. I'm sorry.
Will Friday wind it up?